You're listening to What She Said, a podcast for bloggers and creatives hosted by me, Lucy Sharif, a freelance journalist living in London. Each week, I interview different women in blogging and the online world, getting their best blogging tips and advice and a little bit of gossip too. Thanks for listening. I feel so super lucky I get to chat with two such amazing women each week for the podcast, and none more so than this episode when I got to chat to Claire from Weekend Candy. Claire is so lovely. I can't even tell you how lovely she is. If you don't follow her on Instagram, go to @weekendcandy. She has amazing stories. She has brilliant captions. They make me laugh out loud a lot. We had a really, really honest chat. And, you know, Claire was super honest and she was really generous with her knowledge. And she shared her journey from baby blogger. Not literally, she didn't start blogging when she was a baby. Just, you know, from when she started out to the superstar she is today. She opened up about some of the feelings of self-doubt that can really, really hold you back. It's crazy that she's so humble and I don't think she realizes how awesome she is, which makes it an extra special chat. We also talked about some of the downsides of press trips because sometimes they can totally be crappy. If you've been struggling with self-doubt and you need a friendly reminder that you totally rock, this is the episode for you. Hi, Claire. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello, Lucy. Thank you for having me here.
Oh, thank you for joining us. So for anybody that doesn't know who you are, do you want to introduce yourself and just tell us a little bit about your blogging journey so far?
Okay, yeah. So I'm Claire Robinson, better known as Weekend Candy. Basically, my blog started about 3 years ago, over 3 years ago now. And I really started it because I was working as a freelance writer. I was working with Eurostar and I'd always wanted to be a travel writer, but it always seemed like, you know, being a travel writer was just something that other people did, not me. But I really loved writing for Eurostar and doing all their stuff. And I was like, oh God, I really want to do this for, you know, somehow. And then sort of just cottoned onto the blogging thing and went, oh, actually, maybe I could start a blog. So I started Weekend Candy, and it's about weekend breaks in the UK and Europe. And the reason I chose that as my niche is just because I'm a mum and I was a full-time writer as well. And I just couldn't be a digital nomad or whatever they call themselves. Well, I wish I could, but I couldn't. So I have to fit travelling in during the weekend. So that's how it started. And that's what the blog is. And I'm Weekend Candy on all different sorts of social media as well. So
when you started the blog, you started with a super strong niche. Did that make life a lot easier, or, you know, was there anything else that helped you along the way? Because if I said to you, I see you as a successful travel blogger, you probably would be like, oh, okay, well, I don't really see myself like that. But to me, I think, oh, like, how did you kind of like harness that success at the beginning?
I don't at all see myself successful at all, but it's interesting other people's perceptions about what you do. But the niche was really seemed really the most obvious thing to do for me, and I think it's because I work in advertising, so I'm quite used to working at creating brands and brand positionings and all that kind of stuff. That's what I do for my kind of bread and butter, and so it just made sense to me to go just another travel blog. And I don't mean that disrespectfully, but do you just mean like, if I just put myself out there, what do I need to be? I need to be something. What fits with what I do, and what is an authentic representation of me? I can't pretend that I'm going to the Philippines and, you know, then, you know, South America. You know, I can't do that. I can't do this long haul stuff. I just can't. So to me, that the weekend niche seemed like a natural thing to do as I was trying to build a brand.
Yeah.
In terms of how that's helped me to create it and move forward and get followers, do you know what? I really don't know. I'd like to think it has, and I'm quite proud of the fact that I've got a niche and I'm going, no, this is what I'm about. But I don't know if that's helped build my following, because I still find it really hard to build a following. And I think lots of other people that maybe don't have a very tight niche, you know, I see them talking about similar things. It's hard to build a following So I'm not sure. I'm really not sure. I would have thought it would have.
When you say build a following, though, I don't know. I don't want to speak for you, but I presume you probably mean more on social media, because I think on social media, it's much harder to build a following.
Yeah.
Like, regardless. Just nowadays, it is so hard.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think so. I mean, I guess I do mean my readership as well. I mean,
oh, okay.
I have quite a good subscription base, but it's not in the thousands, and I don't have, you know, hundreds and thousands of hits on the blog stuff. Mm. So I think I'm still kind of, whereas I know other people that maybe don't have a defined niche do. So it's tricky. Yeah. I don't know. I think it's a bit of an ecosystem of things that lead to your success. It's maybe your niche, your personality, your aesthetic, your SEO. I think it's all of those things individually. Yeah.
I think that is luck. I think that is an element. And also I think timing can also be a bit of an element. Like when you start a blog, nowadays it's a lot harder, particularly in travel blogging, I think, to get into the echelon of kind of hundreds of thousands of hits a month.
So
back to kind of stumbling blocks then, were there any stumbling blocks that you found when you were getting things going with Weekend Candy?
Yeah. No. I think time massively. I'm a bit of a faddist. So I kind of have an idea and then I go, right, I put everything into it like a million miles an hour and I'll work really late and, you know, whatever. And everything else will just have to the teenager will have to just make her own dinner because I've got to do this, you know. I throw everything at it. So I think I did that a lot at the beginning, which was okay to get it launched, that initial energy that keeps you kind of getting something launched and going through some of the stumbling blocks. But I think that very soon on that burnt out and I was a bit like, gosh, it's the time thing for me that I really struggle with. And obviously the kind of traditional ones, like getting to know the technology and trying to go, how do I do this and how do I do that? And I don't understand it. And actually the biggest one is, at first I was just writing bonkers, ridiculous nonsense content. what I was writing about. It was so self-indulgent.
Oh God, yeah, no. My writing is still like that. But
but the thing is there's takeaway value from what you do and your writing. You open yourself up and I go, I connected with you and you see I had like a core message that you're getting across, whereas I was just going, I wrote something weird about going into a church in Prague and about how I sat on my rape alarm and it went off in this church. And it was just like, what use is that to anybody?
I think as travel bloggers as well, when we start out, most of us start out writing very journal style, as if our blog is our diary. So it's very much like, I did this and then I did this and here's a funny anecdote. And we're not really thinking, what value does the reader get out of this?
Yeah, that's right. And I think that was a stumbling block in that when people came to my stuff, they probably went, what the hell is this about? You know, whereas now you're absolutely right. That's part of the journey, isn't it? You kind of, I've learned now how a blog should work and how it, you know, the strategy behind it also. So the blog's very different now.
I don't know. I find this quite hard and I've started doing it for next year. I've started looking at kind of content planning because I'm quite like you and I never knew the word faddist, but I think that's definitely me. I'm very much like, I'll go hard, burn out and then move on to the next thing. I find it quite difficult, but I think that's being a creative and being passionate about stuff. It's not very sustainable, is it? So I don't know if you find this, but when it comes to writing, I really struggle with writer's block quite regularly, quite often, because I'm not very organised and restrained with my writing. So I've started kind of content planning and looking ahead at what, do you have any kind of systems that you put in place to kind of harness yourself?
I'd love to be able to plan content in advance. And I think that's a really sensible way of doing it, because I think that the problem with writer's block, I mean, as a freelance writer and an ad writer, I remember being schooled in, there's no such thing as writer's block, it's all about, certainly for advertising and the stuff that I do, it's all about, you know, you have a plan, a structure of what you're going to say, and it's just about saying it. And I think it's very different when you're doing creative writing, because then I think that is, because you're looking for that sort of inspiration in yourself. So I think it's different. But to overcome writer's block, I think planning is absolutely critical. I really do struggle with time. I sound like I'm whining a bit, but I find that I'm trying to juggle my work and being a single parent and the blog and all those other things. I really am short on time. So what I need is to build a habit, you know, like go, okay, a content plan would be a really good way of structuring the posts to come, and, you know, then take 30 minutes a week to do it or whatever it is. Yeah. So I think that's a really good method for me. I'd love to be able to do it. I haven't quite got that in place. So in terms of strategies, I kind of am running really at the moment where I do a trip and then I can't write it up for about 4 to 6 weeks because I've got so much else to do, so much other client work. So I kind of am only just catching up with myself all week. And the next thing that I've got to write up will be the last trip I've gone on, and then I'll be on top of all my writing. Then I could start looking forward rather than looking behind, if you know what I mean, going, I've got to catch up. If I then had the luxury of, you know, a sort of a less busy life, I would kind of go, the thing that I am a big believer in, I don't know if you've heard of it, is something called personas.
No.
So in digital advertising and digital marketing, lots of brands use things called personas where they basically build, it's an ideal customer profile. Oh, okay. So a client profile. So you build your, you know, who is your ideal reader? For Weekend Candy, it's somebody, there's three of them. One of them searching for inspiration, who doesn't know where she's going to go on a weekend. Another one knows that she's going to Amsterdam on a weekend and is looking for specific details on something. Another person might have come back from Amsterdam and is nostalgic about it.
Right.
So I break mine down like that. And so this is kind of what I talk to clients about as well, but when you have your personas, actually what you can then do is match your content to them, because then all you're doing is going, right, so persona number one wants to know this, 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 and this. This is the sort of content that she's going to be looking for. That's how, it, in my ideal world, looking forward, if I was going to start to strategize what I do, that's what I'd do.
Yeah.
You know, use my personas very strategically like that to kind of go, right, okay, so... you know, I need to write this piece of content for that person, this piece of content for the other person. I can also do this sort of post for that person. And then that would then I'd put that into a plan. So that is what I would do if I could actually just get on top of everything and move it forward like that.
That's a really, really, really good tip. I've never heard of personas, but I do have my ideal reader. However, I never thought of having a few different ones, because I struggle a little bit because I do have a defined niche, I guess, but it's quite hard to put into words. So, but I know who I'm writing for. And so I have the person that I write for has a name in my head. You know, they've got a name. I know what they're doing each week. They're really excited when the Christmas coffee comes out, and they love Instagram, but they probably don't really dabble too much with Facebook, those sorts of things. And they're women. Yeah. 100% right for women. But I never thought, especially when it comes to when I create travel content, to have a few different people with different, because basically it's the same person, isn't it, but it's different facets of their life.
Well, absolutely. I mean, it can be quite complicated. Actually, I'd recommend looking up HubSpot's personas. I mean, there's so much information out there on it, but without getting too bogged down in it, the thing about personas is that everybody's at a different point in their buying journey. So they're at a different point of where they are on their journey with your brand, essentially. And my personas that I just talked about, they're at sort of different points. It could be the same person, but they're just at different points of that journey. So as I say, she doesn't know where she wants to go. Then actually decides she wants to go to Amsterdam. She's looking about that. And then she's been to Amsterdam. She comes back. So that's also quite linear. You know, that's one person that could go through that process. And I think the thing is when you really think about the sorts of people that can come to your blog and are interested in what you can put out there or what your brand is offering, you can come up with 4 or 5 personas, and they're all at different points in the buying journey. That can get quite complicated. That's why, you know, it's always best to just kind of keep it to 1 or 2. But certainly for like digital marketing and that kind of stuff, because I do digital marketing stuff, I'd always recommend a brand doing that, because then everything you create is meaningful and everything you create is targeted, and you know you adapt with your personas and stuff. So you kind of, and also you can have personas for web content or a persona for your social content, you know, so it can be quite complicated, and there are actually, you know, companies that do that specifically for brands.
Yeah, but that's actually, I think that's a really good way as well of kind of reining yourself in.
Yeah, I think so. And reminding yourself that, well, see, this is tricky. I mean, you said something a while ago, which I thought, God, you're absolutely right. And I think I suffer because I've worked in advertising for so long, and I'm used to kind of, it's about me being a brand and what is the brand, and, you know, da, 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 da. And I kind of go, who comes to that brand and what do they want from it? And you did I can't remember if you did a post on it or you put it on Instagram, and you just said, oh, you said about, you don't have to define your niche because you are your niche, your personality is your niche.
Yeah.
And I thought that was genius, and I was like, oh my God, I never really thought about that. And actually, maybe I can be a little bit more who I am, which is batty and nonsensical and gin-soaked rather than kind of have to go, no, I am this professional brand and this is what I do. So that was a real eye-opener for me. Sorry, I'm rambling off my point.
That was really interesting. It's funny because I was talking to Monica Stott a couple of days ago and we were talking about the fact that, and actually I spoke to somebody the day before, and so when we talk about niche, people sometimes remember that I've banged on about, so I know which post you're talking about. It's called No Niche.
Yeah.
It was kind of about me had come to the realization that I have a niche, but I don't have a niche. So this was maybe last year I wrote it. Yeah, I really do believe that you are your niche. But then at the same time, that was my rebellious side. And so I used to really love talking about the fact, oh, you know, don't worry about niche. Don't worry about finding your niche because, you know, you don't have to have a niche. But then when I did Monica's course and I chatted to her, then it reminded me again, yes, I do have a niche because I'm my niche. So it always reminded me of my own words and my own feelings. And yeah, like, I think that's absolutely right. And it is about putting personality into things, isn't it? Because we're not travel websites. We are blogs. That's where people come to us. They like us. And actually, what you do really, really well, especially on Instagram stories, is inject loads and loads of personality. I mentioned you in that post that I wrote about Instagram stories as someone who does it really well. I forgot to tell you about it because I'm having this drama on Squarespace. I haven't really promoted anything that I've written.
Such
a nightmare. But yeah, I think you do it really, really well. You really get a sense of who you are through your Instagrams and through your, especially through your Instagram stories. I laugh out loud a lot at your stories. You're really creative with them as well.
Do you know, that's so lovely to hear, because I think one of the things that we do struggle with is it's quite a lonely business.
Yeah, it is.
And I think you just put stuff out there and I obviously get comments back and stuff like that, but it's really nice when somebody says that, because you just kind of go, oh, that it does, it means so much to me when anybody says anything nice about what you do. I mean, you know, likewise with your stuff, I love the way that you do your Instagram stories, and you're so just here I am, and it's like vlogging, and I love that part of it. I feel like complete and utter twat in front of the camera, so I really can only bear myself for like 2 seconds, and then I have to caption it or make a photo because I'm just such an idiot. It's so nice that, and I think going back to the personality thing, do you know, it's really interesting what you said about a blog and a travel website, because in the beginning, when I spoke about earlier, I just was like, I was just writing content for me, and I was trying to, and actually just being dopey and daft, like, which is like who I am in real life. And then I sort of went, no, I need to do the brand thing and make it about content that people can use and take away. And then I started to slip into losing my personality from my blog.
Yeah.
And it was actually your point about, no, you're your niche, that put the whole halt on that, and that stopped it. Yeah, absolutely. It was a massive game changer for me when you wrote that post. And I can't remember how I accessed it, whether I looked at the post or looked at, I can't remember, but I just remember going, oh my God, yes, what am I doing? You know, I'm trying to become something. I'm trying to become like the Lonely Planet, and I'm not that. I'm a person, and that's who people buy into. So after you made that point, I started to put myself back into my blog, and, you know, photos of me trying to look, you know, like those travel bloggers that are really like gorgeous and stylish.
Oh my God,
and trying
to look like that. You are really gorgeous. If it, like, anybody who doesn't know who Claire is, go to her Instagram. She is so hot.
Oh my God. You really should meet me in real life. It's amazing what. Amazing what a ton of makeup can do.
Well, I don't know about that, but yeah.
So thank you, that's really sweet. But you know, so that post made such a difference to me, and so I try to put myself back into blog now. And I think you saying that about my Instagram stories is really nice, because that's where I feel freer.
Yeah.
Which is weird, because maybe I should feel freer in my content, but I don't. I feel freer in my Instagram stories.
I'm with you on that. And the post that I wrote about it, where I said you do this really well, I was just saying this is why I think brands and bloggers should be using Instagram stories more. And I think it's a mistake if you're not using them. So for those of us who have been, we're fairly established in using them. And I think people know what they're going to get when they come to my stories, and they know what they're going to get when they come to your stories, that we're ahead of the pack. Because it's such a quick way of people understanding who you are. And that is where you can be really free. And actually, do you know what? The way you do stories is still very on brand, because you maintain the same tones and the same kind of vibe. It still feels very Weekend Candy. So you can tell, like, but at the same time.
I think I'm trying to rebrand. Sorry. I think I'm trying to rebrand and be a little bit more consistent in my, you know, my colours and fonts and that kind of thing. Well, I'm actually rebuilding the Bleeding website at the moment, which was another one of my, I know what I'll do. I'll do this.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, and like, you know, and then you end up going, why did I do this?
Yeah, why?
It
was fine before.
yeah. So, but as part of that, I thought, I'll rebrand as well. Hurrah. But you do. So, yeah, I'm trying to now be more consistent in my stories to try and get that balance of have a brand feel, but at the same time, still be real rather than too slick.
You touched on it a little bit before when you were saying about, you know, it can be really lonely. And also, it's hard to put yourself out there so much.
Yeah.
Vulnerable.
Yeah.
Because for the majority of us, we don't have to deal with too much criticism. I mean, it's not like we're all so big. It's not like being a celebrity where you've got people pointing out your cellulite and all the other stuff. But we do have to deal with a bit of criticism and people just not liking our stuff. And it's hard.
And I think it's also the thing that I find is, because it was really interesting, I was listening to your jealousy, the podcast jealousy one that you did, which I thought was really, really good and completely what I certainly needed to hear. And I'm sure lots of other people did as well, because, you know, it was kind of like going, you know, it's okay to feel jealous about these other people because they might feel jealous of you. But one of the things about when you say about the criticism, we don't get as much criticism. The thing I find with Instagram stories is quite hard is if I put myself in front of the camera, I'm really critical of myself.
Yeah.
And then I'll look at yours and I'll go, how does she look so good without any makeup on? And I'll look at mine and go, I couldn't go in front of the camera. Like, seriously, the screen would crack. People's eyes bleed.
That's ridiculous.
But do you know what I mean? So I find it's kind of, we may not get any kind of trolls or anything because we're not superstar bloggers or celebrities, but the internal critic, I think, is really hard still. And you're really good at just putting yourself out there and going, oh, yeah, I haven't got any makeup on or whatever. And I aspire to be as okay with that. I haven't quite got it yet because I have to make sure that my hair's right and I've got loads of makeup on and the lighting's okay because I'm just too self-critical otherwise.
Because you saying that I am good at kind of putting myself out there, I don't even really feel that I am. Like, so for example, I don't know if you find this, I feel like you're probably better at me at networking, because that's another thing that people sort of talk about being a real game changer in blogging and getting yourself kind of out there and network. I hate networking. I'm so awkward. There's been so many times when I've got myself ready to go out and then just had a real like cry and then been like, no, I'm not going.
I don't want
to go. Yeah, so it's funny, whereas I can sit there and chat to the world, well, not even the world, because it's not like I've got millions of followers. But you know,
I like your aspiration there. One day it will be the world, Lucy, it will.
But yeah, like in real life, I'm fine one-on-one or in small groups, but yeah, networking is just not for me at all.
It's a weird thing, networking, and I think it's depending on what sort of networking event. So when I first started freelance a long, long time ago, when my daughter was quite small, I went to these businessy networking things, like the business brunches and things. They were bloody awful, you know, because you're approaching somebody to shake their hand and you're both looking at each other like, I'm pretending I like you and I'm pretending I like you, but what I really want is, what can you do for me? What can you do for me? And that's all it is, and it's horrible and it's hideous, and I don't like that sort of lack of emotion and it's just horrible. But then if you went to like a blogger's thing, actually for me, that I'd find that easier, because I'd be like, oh, I'm so excited to meet that person in real life, or I don't feel like I'm trying to extract something out of them. But then I guess what you're talking about is if you go with like PRs and stuff and you're kind of going, oh, I'm such and such, and do you really want to like
even blogger events? I find really difficult, and it's really silly, because when you were just saying, you know, like no one's trying to get anything out of you, I think that is true for the majority. Certainly when I go to them, yeah, I have that like fangirling thing of, oh, I want to speak to this person or that person. And maybe people think that about me too. I don't think so. But then I do feel like people are trying to get stuff out of you, because people are like, oh, what's your blog? What can I get from you? Can I get contacts? Or
oh, gosh, that's really interesting. I think it's just maybe the way we, because
it's perception, isn't it, really?
Yeah, I think it is, but the perception. Your podcast has been amazing, by the way.
Thank you.
I've been really tuned to it. The one you spoke about with Elle about sort of press tricks going wrong and all that kind of thing. So I had the naivety to think once that because we're bloggers, bloggers is the thing that unites us by blood.
Yeah.
You know,
and
I just thought everyone would be the same, you know, no agendas, no kind of egos, no this, that, or the other. That's what I kind of thought. And when I naively went on a press trip that didn't work out very well, I wonder if that's a similar thing that maybe you have subconsciously about going to networking where there's bloggers, you know, that they're people that have agendas rather than just bloggers that are going, oh, I'm so excited to meet you.
Yeah, exactly. And actually, when you talk about press trips, I mean, I've spoken about it before, but I really don't like press trips. I don't like group press trips. I particularly don't like them when it's bloggers. When it's journalists, it's fine. When I'm going on one with where I'm there because I'm a journalist and I'm with other journalists, I find that fine, because I've been very lucky and I've never had a bad experience. But I know most people who've been on them like have got one horror story to tell.
But
I don't like going on them with other bloggers because I just find, I just think sometimes there's a lot of egos and I'm just not up for organized fun. And I think just by my nature that I'm introverted, I want to kind of check out.
Yeah.
It's terrible, really.
No, not at all. I think that's absolutely healthy. And an interesting post for like newbie travel bloggers. And I say newbie, like I'm not a newbie, I still consider myself a newbie, but because when I first started, I thought the press trip, that was the game, you know, being an Arsenal press, that was the thing, then I have made it. When I went on one, it didn't work out very well. I was really crestfallen and I was really devastated. And then I remember reading Mrs. O Around the World, who I love, and she said, oh, she doesn't go on press trips. Don't think she wrote a post about it, but she had a thing on her blog saying she didn't go on press trips. And I was like, oh my God, right. So that's okay not to go on press trips. And so you saying that as well, again, is like, oh, okay, that's okay then. It doesn't matter that we don't, you know, I'm not that sort of blogger, or I don't like doing that.
Oh yeah, definitely. And actually, that's a really good point. Like, that's something that you need to define for yourself. It's not the ultimate goal. I can understand why people think, and if you're the sort of person who is very sociable and you love that kind of thing, but don't worry if you have been blogging for years and you still haven't got that elusive press trip, because they're not that difficult.
No.
Once you're on them, you're like, you get invited on more, and you probably will realise that they're not all that great. They are great. Yeah. And I don't want to sound, neither of us are trying to sound ungrateful, because it's more that, like, you do the same as me and do kind of individual press trips now, don't you? It works better for you because it's on brand, and for me it's the only way I really want to do things, because everybody has different content that they need to write, so having five activities that you're all doing the exact same thing doesn't necessarily make for super original content.
I think you're right. I'm still really grateful if I get offered anything. I always think, oh my God, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Thank you. But it is important to kind of say, to people that maybe are thinking that that's the measure of success, it's not. It's a thing that is really nice to be invited on, but it's okay to kind of go, I'm not sure whether I should, or, you know, whether I'm comfortable doing that.
Yeah, because it's not right for everybody. And because another thing, I suppose, in terms of being professional, if you aren't going to be able to deliver the best content, but you just really want that holiday, then it's not very professional to, for example, if you were invited on a press trip to the Philippines, for example, for like 3 weeks, then the content you would deliver probably
for a week
would be quite interesting.
It would be a very, very long weekend in the Philippines.
Yeah.
Which I probably would still write, actually. And hopefully people would understand my situation. but you're right. I can't. You gotta stay true to who you are.
I think so. Something else I wanted to talk to you about was your Cheltenham bloggers. Because so you're based out in the Cotswolds. I'm very jealous. Mm-hmm. It's you and Lucy, isn't it? Lucy Dodsworth is on the loose. Sometimes we get confused. People get the two of us confused, I think. I've had people say, oh, Wanderloo, are you on the loose? I'm like, no, that's the other loose. How did that come about?
I had an idea one day, like I sort of tend to do. Because in Bristol, there's quite a good, great creative thing. So Bristol's, sorry for people's geography, is not too far from where I am, near Cheltenham. So it's about 40 minutes down the motorway. So there's a really good creative scene in Bristol. And there's also a Bristol bloggers group that was set up by Heather Cowper off Heather on Her Travels. And she'd held a couple of social events, and I'd been down to those, which were great. But I just thought, it's quite a long way to go for an evening. And I thought, gosh, what if there's a Cotswold bloggers group? So Googled it, there's nothing. And I thought, right, well, might as well start one then. So that was it. And I had met Lucy for coffee, because when I realised that she lived in Cheltenham, so I lived just outside of Cheltenham in a place, I actually lived in a place called Paradise, which is...
No way, that's amazing.
Yeah. Totally am a bird of paradise. Totally want that on a t-shirt or a tattoo. But not too far from Cheltenham, I met up with Lucy for coffee, and then had this idea and thought, oh god, I wonder if Lucy would be interested in doing it. And she was like, totally up for it. So that was it. We just started it, you know, after a chat and a coffee. And we basically, yeah, just try and connect bloggers from the Cotswolds in, you know, socials. We try and get them together and that kind of thing, and networking, inverted commas, loosely inverted commas, because it is so lonely, really. And it's such a weird thing to say you're a blogger and people don't really understand it. And
yeah.
And it's nice to have that self-help of, you don't mind if I take my phone and take 40 pictures of my pizza before I eat my pizza. It's nice to have other people that understand why you're doing that. So we just did that, and it's really lovely. We've met some really lovely people through it. It's great. So I think we've got about over 100 members in the Facebook group at the moment. And
wow, that's amazing.
So yeah, that's it. We just try and get together and hang out, really.
This is probably another good tip, to get yourself a little group of like-minded people who you can take. Yeah, exactly. The simple things, like you can go have a coffee, and you're all not going to be asked if you end up drinking your coffee when it's cold because you've taken XYZ pictures, but also that you've got someone there to bounce ideas off, and someone to say, oh, don't worry, I only got paid £20 for that sponsored post too, or oh yeah, that weird email came to me as well and I thought it was odd, or you know, there's stuff like that. That I think there's so much smoke and mirrors in blogging. That if you can find people who will be honest with you and who you feel safe to be honest with as well, it is a massive game changer, because the quicker that you can get to feeling comfortable with yourself, the easier life will be.
I think you're right. I'm always happy to like chat to people about what I do and how I did it and that kind of thing, because so many people were helpful to me when I was asking questions when I started. And there's a blogger who's just started and she'd be like, well, what should I do about this? You know, it's that sharing of knowledge, I think, and being generous and grateful for everything, really. But also that you can connect with other people that you might not have connected with in other circumstances. I mean, I find that amazing. That I can meet people like you or you know, anyone else that I probably wouldn't, you know, that we can just connect.
Our paths would cross otherwise.
Yeah, exactly.
It's about blogging.
Yeah. So, and it's about community anyway, blogging, isn't it? So that's the point, I think.
Yeah.
So actually having an offline community makes sense and not just an online community.
Yes. Yeah, that's true. So where can everybody find you online, and is there something that you're working on that you can share with us, like what's your next trip, or are you doing anything exciting?
Right, well, no.
Putting the pressure on. Well, you've got...
No, I know exactly. What am I doing that's exciting? My blog is weekendcandy.com. I'm Weekend Candy on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, although I don't hang out on Twitter very much anymore, but Instagram I kind of like lots.
Yeah.
So I'm there. I haven't got any other trips planned at the moment, purely because I'm rebranding and I'm redoing my blog and I'm trying to get all that off the ground.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to put any trips in the diary.
Watch
until that is all done.
New website.
Yeah, new website and new brand. I'm hoping to launch that in the new year.
Yeah. Thank you so much for being part of the podcast.
Thank you for having me. I've really enjoyed it. Thanks so much.